This is AgriPulse Daybreak West for Wednesday, April 3rd, brought to you by Edge Dairy Farmer Cooperative. Good morning, I'm Jeff Daly. Here's today's headlines. Avian flu hits large egg farm. World Central Kitchen suspends meal delivery. Lawmakers call for seafood policy office. Avian flu hits large egg farm. The latest outbreak of highly pathogenic avian influenza has now claimed a large layer operation owned by the nation's largest egg producer, Calmaine Foods. Nearly 2 million birds will be killed at the Texas operation, the company said yesterday. Also yesterday, USDA confirmed that a dairy herd in Idaho had tested positive. USDA had previously confirmed cases of HPAI in 7 dairy herds in Texas, 2 in Kansas, 1 each in Michigan and New Mexico. Why it matters? Well, dairy cows don't have to be killed after the HPAI infection, but birds do. The last national outbreak of HPAI in poultry caused egg prices to skyrocket by more than 32% in 2022. World Central Kitchen suspends meal delivery in Gaza after workers killed. World Central Kitchen has suspended operations in Gaza after 7 of its workers were killed Monday by Israeli airstrikes. WCK CEO Aaron Gore called the incident a targeted attack. The chief of staff for the Israeli Defense Forces, Herzi Haliba, later issued an apology, saying there was no intent to harm the WCK workers, according to the Times of Israel. He said, quote, "It was a mistake that followed a misidentification at night during a war in very complex conditions." Still, President Biden said in a statement on the incident that Israel hadn't done enough to protect civilians. Reports indicated a WCK logo was painted on top of at least one of the vehicles that had been hit. The dead include 3 British citizens, Polish and Australian nationals, a Canadian-American dual national, and a Palestinian, AP reported. World Central Kitchen, founded by well-known chef Jose Andres, says it has delivered more than 350 million meals to people in crisis situations throughout the world since it started in 2010. Another aid group, Washington, D.C.-based ANERA, also said Tuesday it was pausing operations in Gaza, citing the loss of one of its own aid workers as well as others in the region. Administration pushed on details of GREET model update. The Renewable Fuels Association continues to try to shape an update of the model that will be used to measure the carbon footprint of feedstocks for sustainable aviation fuel. RFA is urging the interagency working group that is updating the GREET model to use a 30-year time frame for analyzing the greenhouse gas emissions associated with land use changes. Those emissions figure into the carbon intensity of corn, soybeans, and other feedstocks. The issue is important to eligibility for new tax credits for sustainable aviation fuel. The ethanol industry group doesn't want to see the model use a shorter time frame, such as 20 or 25 years, noting that EPA uses a 30-year time period for the renewable fuel standard. EPA has not altered the 30-year time period in subsequent rulemaking and still uses 30 years as the time period for new RFS lifecycle greenhouse gas assessments, RFA says in a letter to the interagency group. Shorter time period would make the rules for SAF tax credit eligibility different than those of the RFS. We'll have more AgriPulse Daybreak after this.
Daybreak is sponsored by Edge Dairy Farmer Cooperative, the third largest dairy co-op in the country. Edge is a powerful advocate of Washington for farmers throughout the upper Midwest. Among Edge's top priorities is milk pricing reform. Over its long history, the federal order system has aimed to serve farmers by ensuring the orderly marketing of fluid milk. But changing production and consumption patterns are rendering the system ineffective. Edge envisions changes that create flexibility, promote fairness, and strengthen the relationship between farmers and processors.
Welcome back to AgriPulse Daybreak. USDA sees Brazil boosting corn production and cotton acreage. USDA is projecting that Brazil will increase its cotton acreage by 13% for the 24-25 marketing year amid relatively strong prices for the crop as compared to corn. But despite the increase in cotton acreage, FAS estimates Brazil's corn production will increase to 129 million metric tons for 24-25, up from 122 million metric tons for 23-24. The increase in Brazil's cotton acreage comes as cotton plantings in the U.S. are expected to drop by 4% this spring, based on USDA's latest prospective plantings survey. The Foreign Agriculture Service says Brazilian cotton yields are expected to be lower this year because of the impact of the El Niño weather patterns. Lawmakers call for seafood policy office at USDA. 16 senators and 20 House members are pressing leaders of the Senate and House Ag Committees to use the Farm Bill to create an Office of Seafood Policy and Program Integration within the Agriculture Department's Office of the Chief Economist. In a letter, the lawmakers say, quote, the U.S. has for too long failed to think strategically about how to support seafood, both farmed and wild, as a priority food commodity and position U.S. seafood to be more competitive in domestic and global seafood markets. They say an office devoted to the subject would allow agencies to better coordinate and would, quote, put seafood on par with federal support programs extended to every major domestic food commodity. The lawmakers also call for expanding seafood purchasing and federal nutrition programs and approving the Fishing Industry Credit Enhancement Act, which would expand Farm Credit System lenders' authorities to include fisheries projects. Alabama farmers pitch in as fire-weary Texas cattlemen search for hay. Alabama farmers have so far donated 21 truckloads of hay to Texas cattlemen scrambling for livestock feed to compensate for the rangeland scorched by a series of fires in the panhandle. The Alabama Department of Agriculture and Industries, the Alabama Cattlemen's Association, and the Alabama Trucking Association launched the joint effort, which resulted in 5 truckloads of hay being delivered last week. 7 more loads are on their way, and 9 are scheduled for later this week, Alabama Agriculture Commissioner Rick Pate said in a statement. Bill to ban paraquat in California set for introduction. A California assembly member plans to introduce legislation to ban all uses of paraquat in the state, the Environmental Working Group has announced. Assembly member Laura Friedman, a Democrat who represents Burbank, is behind the bill, said EWG, which plans to hold a news conference today with Friedman. Almonds, grapes, cotton, and pistachios are among the crops in which paraquat is used to control weeds. You can check out this week's AgriPulse newsletter for our story on comments submitted to EPA on paraquat. We also look at how a new Federal Aviation Administration waiver will allow the first use of drone swarms in ag applications. Here's today's He Said It. A major reason why distributing humanitarian aid in Gaza has been so difficult is because Israel has not done enough to protect aid workers trying to deliver desperately needed help to civilians. Incident like yesterday simply should not happen. Israel has also not done enough to protect civilians. That's President Joe Biden on the attack that killed 7 World Central Kitchen workers. Well, that's Daybreak for this Wednesday, April 3rd, brought to you by Edge Dairy Farmer Cooperative. For the latest news out of Washington, D.C., visit AgriPulse.com. For AgriPulse Daybreak, I'm Jeff Nally.